And joining us right now is the D.C. Police Union Chairman Greg Pemberton. So good to talk to you, Greg. Great to have you back with us on Mornings on the Mall.
Vince, Mary, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I saw some troubling news this week, or at least it looks troubling to me, that the D.C. that you've been reporting that there have been some 313 officers who left the force in the last year. Should this make us nervous for D.C. residents?
Absolutely. And, you know, I got to give you guys credit. You guys have been following the story since the beginning. And you'll remember that back in June, we put out a press release once this bill was originally passed. And what we told folks was that while the vast majority of the bill was fine, we could live with it. There was a couple of provisions in there that were going to cause two major disruptions. One, a mass exodus of police officers, and two, a significant increase in crime. And a lot of council members scoffed at that. A lot of people laughed and joked. And now here we are, you know, 9-10 months later. And we're short, you know, nearly 300, probably 350 officers by the time we get through the end of May. And crime is soaring out of control. We had a 20% increase in homicides last year. We have an almost 40% increase this year.
Yeah.
Shootings are up. Carjackings are up all over the city. And these things can all be attributed to the fact that this bill has an incredibly chilling effect on policing, so much so that many members are leaving, resigning from the department and retiring earlier than they had normally planned.
Okay, so you're saying
this is alarming.
You're saying it's directly associated with the police overhaul that was done by the district. I believe this is called the Comprehensive Policing and Justice Reform Emergency Amendment Act. Is that right?
That's right. It's currently the temporary act. But yeah, that's the bill that most of our members are citing. And, you know, one thing I do want to point out is that what the majority of the people that are leaving, or half of the people that are leaving of this group that we're talking about, are resignations. Now, that is alarming. We do lose people through retirements. It's a pretty large agency. People reach their retirement age and seniority, and they put their papers in and leave the department. But there's two things that are happening. One, no one is staying beyond their retirement eligibility, which is what we used to see. People would stay 30, 35, even 40 years. That's completely unheard of now. As soon as people reach that 25-year mark, they're out the door. But the other thing that I think is more alarming is that people are actually just walking up to HR, turning in their badge and guns, and leaving. I mean, 50% of the people that have left since June 1st, when this bill was first enacted, have been resignations.
Wow.
And what that speaks to is people saying, I don't want to work in an environment where my elected officials don't care about me. They don't care about my liability. They don't care about the dangers that I face. They don't care about the safety of me and my family. And I'm going to go somewhere else. And the fact is, and I know I've told you guys this before, is every law enforcement agency in the country is hiring right now. So why wouldn't you leave and go somewhere else where
sure.
they haven't tried to scuttle all of these protections?
Sure.
So when it comes to these bills, we look to our politicians for whatever reason and for them to solve our problems. And they say, we're going to solve your problems. We're coming up with this bill. Is there any input from the policing side? Because they're not police officers. They've never done the job, but they're going to tell you how to do your job, and they're going to regulate your job. So what kind of input comes from the policing community when it comes to bills like this?
That's one of the most frustrating parts of this, is that obviously once this situation started to sort of jump off, you know, the catalyst or the inflection point was really this George Floyd video at the end of May, beginning
yep.
of June of last year. This bill passed on June 8th, and we had not seen any language. It had not been presented to us. It was put in front of the council, and within 48 hours, it had been voted on unanimously and passed in an emergency amendment. As you previously mentioned, it was then later renewed into a temporary amendment, and now they're trying to pass this bill as a permanent law. And the problem is that when we go and we say, hey, listen, here's the things that we like about the bill. Here's the things that could be strengthened.
Right.
Here's the things that you really need to change. We get door slammed in our face, right? We're the pariah. We're the bad guy. We're the cause of all society's ills. So why should we have any input on what this bill says?
Greg, it's important.
You
know, it's important. Let's talk about the bill for a moment, because I think we've been talking around it. I want to be really specific. What are the things that are driving officers to leave the force that are in this package? Because I know that one of the complaints that you've been raising through the union is related to this subsection L, which, as I read it, suggests that any officer who's punished, the decision-making process that goes into that will be left completely secret, and it will be non-negotiable. The union can't even ask questions about how they reached a determination to punish an officer. Is that why cops are leaving?
That's exactly right. So, over the past 30 or so years since the union has been in existence, it has negotiated with management and the city to create a disciplinary system that's fair, it has due process, allows members an opportunity to appeal and challenge certain decisions, challenge certain allegations or complaints from citizens. And everyone seems to think that that is a relatively fair system, and that it embodies the due process that everyone should be entitled to. What they've done is they've scuttled the entire thing. So now there is no due process. There is no fairness. There is no equitability. Some official can just walk up to you and say, hey, you're suspended. You're fired. Here's your discipline. And those members have no recourse to say, well, it didn't happen this way, or this isn't right, or I'd like to challenge this. So basically what the city council is saying is we want the disciplinary system to be generated by public outrage against police officers, not through due process and facts and reliable investigations. And so people are saying, well, why would I put myself in the situation where yes. some 30-second cell phone video can get me fired and I don't even have an opportunity to respond and say, well, this is really what happened.
Right. Talk about
and
a way
people
to
don't want to put themselves.
Yeah.
In.
Talk about a way to collapse morale and get people to leave for other forces around the country. Okay, Greg Pemberton, stay with us, if you will. I want to talk more about this because it's really important for our community's safety and for the ability for us to retain good cops in the district. Greg Pemberton with the D.C. Police Union. More with him in a moment. 744 on WMAL.
105.9 FM.
You make life feel a little bit normal. You really do.
WMAL.
I'm with you on that.
Where Washington comes to talk.
So many questions for Greg Pemberton, chairman of the D.C. Police Union, who generously has given us some time this morning. Hey, Greg, I want to ask you for an update on a story that we talked about a little over a week ago. There was a D.C. police officer who was confronted by someone in the street who asked if they would kill him like Micaiah Bryant, referring to the woman in Columbus, Ohio, who was attempting to stab someone and then was shot by a police officer, and he stopped that stabbing. The officer in D.C. responded, "Are you going to stab somebody like her?" This happened in a viral video, and then we found out that the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department had placed him on some sort of temporary suspension while they investigated him. Do you know anything else about that story and why he was investigated to begin with?
Well, what I can tell you is that whatever charges that they would have brought against that member would have been administrative charges of some sort of misconduct. And it certainly would not have justified him having his weapon revoked or had taken his badge and putting him on an administrative assignment, which is something that we obviously challenged relatively aggressively. And ultimately, because of that and because I think of the sort of media backlash on that, they reinstated him. They put him back to duty. That issue is still under investigation and, we'll continue to monitor it. But I think you were right that it was the department had a knee-jerk reaction to a video that had gone viral about, a police officer's alleged sort of misspeaking.
You know, earlier in the show, we were talking about another viral moment that we saw yesterday out of Southern California, where a Hispanic officer stopped a black woman who was on her cell phone while she was driving. And in an interview afterwards, we find out that the reason he even saw the cell phone is because she flipped him the bird as she was driving past him. And she became very combative and she called him racist and told him he wanted to be white just because he stopped her for talking on her cell phone. It seems now as if a simple traffic stop like that winds up with the cops being berated for no reason and called horrible names and accused of being racist. She accused this cop of being a murderer and wanting to kill her. How did we get here, and who's responsible for this sudden, I think, war on police officers?
Well, that's a great question. And, obviously you saw that video and you saw the reaction. And what I would say is, even though the vast majority of citizens here in the District of Columbia, I think they appreciate and they respect police officers, this is what a lot of our interactions look like. So officers get out of their car, they're investigating something, they're trying to figure out what went wrong, they're called to an area by somebody, and next thing you know, the cell phones come out, the shouting comes out, the people are being belligerent and insulting, even officers that get spit on and shoved. And it's very difficult for these officers to react because, as we already talked about, everything is under so much scrutiny. But the fact is that this movement, this sort of anti-police movement, has successfully labeled all police officers, and there's 900,000 of us in this country, mm-hmm. and vast majority of them, 99%+ go out every day to serve their communities, and they're willing to put themselves in harm's way to keep their communities safe and serve the citizens that are out there. but somehow this movement has labeled all 900,000 of us as terrible, murdering racists that go out every day trying to harm citizens. And unfortunately, that actually has gotten a foothold. And there's a lot of people out here that see a police officer and immediately think this is a bad person. This is the bad guy.
So is that a change, Greg Pemberton, is that a change? Have you noticed a trend in sort of belligerent interactions between citizens and officers over the last year?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, working out in violent neighborhoods like this that we have, unfortunately, in D.C., people tend to give some pushback to the police officers who are there. That's not unusual. But the amount and the number of times it happens and sort of the vitriol that happens in those situations has increased both in frequency and in how people are carrying this out. It's certainly alarming, and it certainly has increased. Yes.
Greg Pemberton, thank you very much. Chairman of the D.C. Police Union. Always appreciate your perspective and look forward to having you back with us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir. 751 on WMAL.
Washington's Mall.
Consumers of news and information.
105.9 FM. WMAL.
I love listening to your broadcast.
Where Washington comes to talk.